A privacy ruling by Europe's top court deals a blow to tech giants and thousands of other companies. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The European Court of Justice today struck down a mechanism firms like Facebook use to transfer data between Europe and the U.S. They say it exposes EU citizens to U.S. surveillance since tech companies operating in America are legally obligated to give intelligence services access to user data if it's requested. The BBC's Dave Malloy has more.
The privacy regulations say that if you're going to send data outside the EU anywhere else, you have to have some sort of safeguard in place. And one of the two ways used to send things to the United States is a thing called the Privacy Shield. That's what's been struck down by the court today. One of the other methods used by the big players is still there, but this Privacy Shield was used by about 5,000 companies, and a lot of them were small, medium enterprises or startups.
So for companies like Facebook, what does this mean then? And what does it mean for consumers who use it, who want to chat with their friends online, or for companies that want to use Facebook for, say, the shopping platform that it provides?
It's not going to affect instant messaging or email or anything like that. The issue is mainly for companies, and this is a lot of companies, a lot more than you would think, who need to send information to the US. So maybe you use a cloud storage solution and it has servers in the US, or maybe you want to send HR records back to head office. These are the kind of things that are kind of covered by this personal protection law. And if you were using one of the two main methods, you now have to make sure that you're using the correct one that is still valid.
How long do companies have to make these changes?
Last time something like this happened, when the Privacy Shield's predecessor was overturned back in 2015, they did come up with some sort of a grace period. But in terms of the legal status, the court has just issued a judgment. So we're kind of in a phase of figuring out what happens next, I think.
The BBC's Dave Malloy. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Checking the numbers, global oil prices are down between 0.9% and 1.3% after OPEC and its allies agreed to begin tapering supply cuts starting in August. Elsewhere, tensions between the U.S. and China continue to flare. That's sending European shares down. The pan-European Stock 600 index is off 0.7%. Meanwhile, China's Shanghai Composite Index dropped 4.5% today after retail sales unexpectedly fell in the second quarter. Still, the country posted overall economic growth of more than 3% between April and June, meaning the world's second biggest economy has avoided recession. The BBC's Mariko Oi has more.
After shrinking by nearly 7% in the first 3 months of this year, China's economy grew by more than 3% as the economy emerged from the lockdown. All the stimulus measures announced by the authorities seemed to be working, with factories getting busier, which was evident in growth in the industrial production data. But one sector that hasn't recovered as quickly as they had hoped is retail sales. They still fell in the second quarter, which means getting people to spend money again will remain a challenge. And just as the economy starts to recover, tensions with the US are flaring up, especially over Hong Kong. That's why some economists are still reluctant to call it a V-shaped recovery just yet.
Mariko Oi there. When companies start up, they try to get money from various sources, like venture capital firms. But the BBC's Manuela Zaragoza reports the VC industry has a diversity problem. One entrepreneur told her he struggled even getting his foot in the door.
My name is Nicholas Kelly. I'm the founder and CEO of XL Group.
Nicholas, or Nick as he prefers to be called, is a black 36-year-old British entrepreneur.
We build and design programs to be used within healthcare, and we built this internal system to hold all the information. We decided to go out and try and find funding to scale it up.
So he pitched his idea to venture capital firms.
This VC came downstairs and basically asked everyone, are they Nicholas Kelly? Are they Nicholas Kelly? And I was with my finance director at that point, and actually he said, oh, I assume you're Nicholas to him. And I was like, no, I'm Nicholas.
Because your finance director was white, is he?
Yes. But the moment we kind of sat down, he completely lost interest and was very much talking towards the finance director, less so than me. And actually, we never even got a follow-up. And the other one, again, similar situation, but I looked on both these two VC firms and neither of them had any black male companies on their portfolio. This morning I had a look and still that same VC firm doesn't have any BAME companies on their books.
In recent weeks, investors in the US have issued statements in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. They've come from rock star status names in the VC community, firms like Benchmark, Sequoia, and others. Tracy Gray is a rarity in that community, a black female investor and entrepreneur.
Diverse funds outperform all of US private equity by 1.39 times. And so that tells you it's not about the returns, it's about bias. This is straight up bias, because if you care about returns, why wouldn't you? You're leaving money on the table.
Tracy Gray of the 22 Fund. Today, Nick Kelly says his company has an annual turnover of £8 million. That's about $10 million. So without VC funding, how did he do it?
You just need to use resources available to you. Your wider network probably has more connections and can open doors for you better than a VC can.
As Tracy Gray says, the venture capital world has quite a way to go yet when it comes to diversity in the workforce and where it chooses to invest. I'm the BBC's Manuela Zaragoza for Marketplace.
Finally, if you got to name a new car company, what would it be? How about Stellantis? That's what Fiat Chrysler and PSA chose for their new combined company. The name comes from the Latin verb stello, which means to brighten with stars. They say it captures the optimism and sense of industry renewal that drove the $50 billion merger. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.